Oh, good morning to you. Seems like I was just here. Good to be back again. I'm going to ask you to stand with me one more time. Now, Father, we do pray for Jack and the team that's with him, that, Lord, your word would be heard and Jesus would be exalted and folks would be touched and your body would be built. Bless him and bless them. And for these guys here this morning, Father, I thank you that you've brought them to this place on this day. And that by your grace, you've allowed us to share some time together. And so I pray, Lord, that we would be very tuned in to your voice, that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church at Chino Hills for the first service, this group, this day. Bless them, Father. May their love for Jesus be growing deeper and deeper. May their faith in Jesus be becoming stronger and stronger. May their enjoyment of Jesus becoming greater and greater. Bless them, Lord. Every single guy and gal, every single man and woman, you see our needs, Lord. And I pray that you would bless this group today in Jesus' holy name, for Jesus' purpose, I pray. Amen. Amen. And you can plop down. (laughs) 7:30 in the morning. You guys are either crazy or you are radical. One of the two. Come to Applegate. Our first service starts at 10:30. It's true. But you're not crazy. Being here at 7:30 is actually Christ-like. It truly is. What do you mean? Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter uno. That's chapter one for you gringos. Mark chapter one. Jesus had just begun his public ministry. And on that first Sabbath day, he taught the word. He prayed for folks. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. Clear into the late night, it was an incredibly busy and fruitful day. And then we read this. After that, verse 35 of Mark 1, are you there? After those things that he did and stayed up late that night doing his Father's work, we read, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. Well, Simon Peter and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And Jesus, verse 38, said to them, let us go to the next towns. The word towns there is literally unwalled villages. It means in our day, podunk places, Applegate, wherever it might be. Let us go to the next towns or unwalled villages that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Amazing. After spending a busy day in ministry and a night praying for the sick and casting out demons and ministering to folks. He rose up a great while before the day. He found a quiet place. He had a quiet time. He possessed a quiet heart. And there he prayed. Now, it wasn't just on that day, in this morning here in Mark chapter 1. But the book of Isaiah says, prophetically speaking of him, that this was his continual practice. I'll read it to you. From Isaiah chapter 50, speaking of Jesus Christ, prophetically, the one who would come, it says this: "The Lord God hath given me," speaking of Jesus, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. For he," the Father, Jesus would say, "awakens me morning by morning. He awakes my ear to hear as the learned." Morning by morning, the Father awakens me and speaks to me that I might speak a word of wisdom, that I might know how to speak to those who he sends my way. Morning by morning, Jesus would get up and seek the Father, a quiet place, a quiet heart, a quiet time. He got up to pray day by day by day by day. Before the day began, it was the first thing that he would do, seen here in Mark 1 and prophesied in Isaiah chapter 50, as I just read to you. Now, because of that, Jesus, my, oh my, he possessed such a serenity and a calmness and a tranquility in his ministry. Jesus, our Lord, our hero, was accused of many things. He was accused of being demon-possessed. He was accused of being born illegitimately. He was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton, and on the accusations go. But one thing that Jesus was never accused of was being busy. He was never accused of being in a hurry. No one ever said, "Oh, Jesus, I know you're so busy. Sorry to bother you." He was so approachable, so available, because he conveyed such a sense of serenity, such a sense of tranquility, that nobody thought he was uptight, anxious, busy. He just didn't come across that way. Now, in our culture, man, we say, the man in demand is a busy man. If you are busy, it must mean that you are in demand. It must mean that everybody wants you and you've got lots of stuff to do and that's why you're busy, which means you're an important person. But Jesus smashes that imagery. He comes across in a whole nother way. He comes across not as busy or bothered, but just available and tranquil and serene. How is that? I suggest to you this text in Mark 1 is the key. You see, that previous day, Jesus was in Capernaum, where, as I said previously, he had been teaching, casting out demons, healing, all the rest. Capernaum was the hot spot of the northern region of Israel. It was there on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was the epicenter of prosperity. It was the place where it was happening. It was where all the important folks and rich people hung out, maybe like Newport Beach down here. The people had their yachts and their hot tubs and their flat screen TVs and all the rest, you see. Capernaum was where it was at. Jesus was there teaching, ministering. And he, the next day, when he got up to pray, Later on, the boys woke up and tracked him down and said, "Hey, Jesus, you were a hit. The reviews are in. All men seek for you." Mark 1 says, "Everybody wants you," verse 37 tells you and me. "You were a hit in Capernaum. Jesus, let's get back there." Jesus said, "No." He said, "I'm not going to go back to Capernaum. I know CNN is waiting for interviews. I know all of the media is waiting for me. I know this seems like a fantastic opportunity. This seems like an amazing thing to do. But you know what? I was up before you. And I was seeking my Father. And I was talking to him," Jesus might say, "like I do day by day by day by day. And I'm not going to go back to Capernaum. We're going to go to these podunk places where no TV cameras are set up or reporters are waiting or the paparazzi is there. We're going to go to these unwalled podunk places. Why? Listen to me. Check it out. Take note. Why? Verse 38 says, "That I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." That I might go and preach there, "for therefore came I forth." Listen to me. Tune in. Came I forth from where? From my time of prayer. In other words, man, if you guys can get this, you're going to be blessed all of your days. You guys are young over here. Take note. Get this. Listen up. In other words, I know there's all these opportunities in Capernaum, all these calls for me to come, all of this success seemingly, all of these amazing possibilities, but I already know what I'm supposed to do. Because before all that was brought to me, Jesus might say, I was with my Father before the break of day. And the Father said, I'm to go to the unwalled villages. So that's what I'm going to do. Jesus never ministered according to possibilities or opportunities or even according to needs. He only ministered according to obedience. Jesus would say, I always and only do the things the Father tells me to. He didn't minister according to needs. Why? When he walked there into the pool of Bethesda area, all sorts of people were lame and sick and hurting, but he went to one guy and told one person, take up your bed and walk. My, oh my, I would think that Jesus would say to everybody, hey, here I am, stand up, you're all healed, go your way, rejoice everybody. But he didn't do that day. Why? Because Jesus never ministered according to the needs he saw or the demands of others or even cool opportunities before him. He only did the thing that he heard from the voice of his Father. So in that Bethesda story, Jesus was told by the Father, there's one guy in the back. He's been lame for a long time. Now go and talk to him. And Jesus would say, if you would, sure, Father, that's what I'll do. I'll go and talk to him. Jesus was therefore able to move with this great tranquility because he was guided by the Father. Now listen to me. Stay tuned. Get this. If you try to minister according to the needs you see or the opportunities that may come your way or possibilities before you, you are going to go crazy. You're going to be running here, running there, doing this, doing that. And you might even think, but I'm doing it for the kingdom. I'm doing it in ministry. Look how busy I am doing this, going there, taking care of that. But in reality, when I get that busy, and I do, when I run around, and I can, you know what's indicative of? Well, have you ever seen or heard about or take notice of a chicken with its head cut off? It's real busy. It runs here, goes there, runs there. A chicken with his head cut off. Man, he's busy, but he's all fouled up. He's dead, even though he appears to be busy. In reality, it simply is indicative that he's cut off from the head. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. And Jesus would say, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what, gang? Rest. Because my burden is what? Easy. And my load is light. His burden is easy. His load is light. Others will say, oh, you got to join us here. You got to do that. You got to go over there. Christians will tell you that. Others will tell you that. But Jesus would say, I know there's an opportunity there, possibilities here. But what you need to know is my burden is easy. My load is light. I don't want you running around with busyness, anxieties, and frustrations and fatigue. I want you to represent me. And I am the master of serenity. I am the master of tranquility. Well, how do we know what to do then? You get up early. You find a quiet space. You have a quiet time. And you get a quiet heart. And you say, Lord, before other people begin pulling on me or other possibilities open up before me, I want to hear what you say that I should do this day. With my discretionary time, what do you want me to do, Lord? I don't want to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off, getting frustrated, feeling fatigued, and misrepresenting you in the process ultimately. What do you want me to do? So every morning I get up before the break of day, whenever day might be, and I say, Lord, here I am. What wilt thou have me to do? And you know, kids, what the Lord does? He whispers in my ear, or as Jeremiah 31 says, he writes on the tablet of my heart just one or two specific things that he wants me to do. And those things, before I leave my quiet time, I jot down, I write down. And I say, okay, I'm supposed to call my mom today. I'm supposed to take my son for lunch. I'm supposed to go to that hospital and see that person I hardly even know. Whatever it might be, one or two things, sometimes three, he'll put on my heart. That is what I do. I have five kids and they all love the Lord. They're all in ministry. My daughter Jessie at 16 went to heaven, like her mother did it at 28. But be that as it may, my kids have all walked with the Lord. They've all had a deep love for the Lord. They've all given their hearts to the Lord, and they're all involved in ministry. I'm so thankful. But there was many, many, many a time when they were growing up, When opportunities would come my way, go to Washington, D.C., come to London, go here, do that. Woo. And I would have to say, you know, sorry, I appreciate the invitation to meet the president. But the Lord told me this morning, I'm to play catch with Peter John at Jacksonville Elementary School. So I can't go to D.C. to meet the president today because the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. I'm to spend some time this afternoon with my son playing catch. I knew what I was supposed to do. So that when people, all men seek for you, Lord, you were a hit in Capernaum. Come and go back, and the paparazzi and the tabloids and the reporters and all the rest, not interested. Because the Father has already told me where to go to these unwalled villages, boys. And that's what we're going to do. In Portland, Oregon, a number of years ago now, interesting story was aired on our news channels in Oregon. There was a guy that won the citywide handball tournament. And the interesting part of the story was he won the citywide handball tournament. He was old. He was 32. And for handball, that's considered to be ancient. But that's not why the story made news. The story made news because not only was he 32, but he only had one arm. Now, in handball, in case you don't know, you play with both hands. You hit the ball as it careens off the walls. You use both hands in the handball court. He only had one arm, one hand. I'll never forget this. The reporter said, "So what do you attribute your success to?" And this guy looked at that reporter and said, "Decisions." "Decisions? What do you mean, decisions?" He says, "Well, my opponents always have to try and figure out which hand they're going to use." "I already know I'm going to use the left one. It's a decision I don't have to make. I already know what I'm going to do. No confusion when I play handball, you see." And I heard that and I thought, that's so cool. He was successful, victorious, newsworthy, because decisions. I already know what I'm going to do. If you want to be successful in any given day or throughout your lives, here's the key. Get up before the day begins. And say, "Father, I need you to inspire my thoughts. I need you to touch my heart. I need you to write in me what you want me to do today." And he will. See, I'm almost through. But here's what you need to know. This was always God's plan for you guys. For all us. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. You might recall. One was called the tree of life. The other was called the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. God said, Father said to Adam, "You could eat of all the trees, including the tree of life, but you mustn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Why was that tree called the knowledge of good and evil? Well, because it was a way for man to say, "God, I want you to know this. I want evil and not good. I want to rebel against you, disobey what you have to say." That's true, but that's not the whole story. God knew that once man ate of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would become independent. What do you mean? Adam bit the forbidden fruit. He ate it. He went and hid. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" "Well, Lord, I'm hiding because I'm naked." "Who told you were naked? Who gave you this knowledge?" The idea there is this. Before man fell, we are told he walked with the Lord in the cool of the day in the garden. He would ask the Father about everything. Father, what does this do? And what does this mean? And how does this work? And why is this that way? And they had sweet fellowship. But once man ate of the knowledge of good and evil, he now says in his sinful state, I know what to do. I know I'm naked. I need to hide. I can figure it out. I'm calling the shots. And God's heart broke. Because man, in the fall, became independent. He called the shots. He made the decisions. He organized his day. He determined what he should do. And that was never the way it was supposed to be. The Father always wanted his kids in close dependency and communion with him. You might say, well, I know what to do because I went to this seminar. I know what to do because I went to that retreat. I know what to do because I heard that announcement. Whatever it might be. No. If I really want to be Jesus-like and Father-pleasing and fruitful and serene and enjoyable to be around and a good dad to my kids and a good husband to my wife, if I really want that, I have to say, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to spend the day. I can't see what you see. So, Father, here I am in this morning hour. And Lord, I'm going to talk things over with you, and I'm going to be quiet and listen to you. I don't want to eat of the tree of knowledge. Paul says, knowledge what? Puffs up. I want to be in love with you, Lord, and minister the love of you to others. So I need to wait on you, Lord, and do what you tell me to, and just what you say. And now my walk becomes tranquil and serene, fruitful and effective. I don't feel like a chicken with my head cut off. When others say, John, you need to do this, and John, there's an opportunity there, and John, how come you're not involved with this? I can say in my own soul, I can say to my own self, because I already know what I'm supposed to do today. Because I prayed. And I trust the Father would give me wisdom. Because he says, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask of God who gives to all men liberally. He will guide your day. Husband, he'll tell you to put away the golf clubs and take your wife out for dinner instead. Or he'll tell you, don't take your wife out to dinner, grab your clubs and have a good time. It works both ways. He'll say, perhaps your wife needs some time with me. So you go golfing and I'm going to minister to her. You can't predict what the Lord's going to say. You can't predict what the Lord's going to do. The Lord is predictably unpredictable. You can't put him in boxes. The last people that tried to put Jesus in a box, he broke out of 3 days later, if you know what I mean. You can't box him up. You can't say, well, this is what good Christians ought to do with their time, and this is what good Christians ought to do with their week. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I know what's good. I know what's bad. No, you really don't. Day to day in practical ways. Now, I chose to give this study, decided to share this with you just 3 or 4 minutes before I came up here, because I'm proud of you for being here this early. You're already doing it. You've already shown that you're those that say, Hey, it's Sunday. Others may sleep in like those sinners at Applegate, but hey, not us. We're getting up at the crack of dawn to go to the house of the Lord, to sing his praises, to study the scriptures. Good for you. I'm proud of you. Keep it up. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too, and Sunday, even before you come here. Find a quiet place, get a quiet heart, have a quiet time with pencil and paper or journal in hand. I always have a journal or paper with me because I believe the Lord is going to speak to me. And if the Lord speaks to me, I suggest to you, it's worth writing down. It's worth taking note. It's worth saying, okay, Lord, I was going to go preach at that crusade, but you're saying, go to the rest home and visit that 97-year-old lady instead, if that's what you say. And I find that what the Lord gives me to do bears fruit. And it makes me free of a cluttered, crazy life. Most of you know this. But for some of you, this is going to be the most important study that you will hear in many, many, many years. Some are going to say, I'm going to do what Jesus did. If he needed to get up early and pray, if he needed morning by morning, day after day, to seek his Father, that he might know how to speak, that he might know what to do, how much more do I need to do that? And for some of you, I don't know how many, maybe 10, maybe 20, I'm not sure who. Your life is going to be revolutionized right now, right here. Because you're hearing the voice of the Spirit. And you're going to begin a journey that's going to amaze you and bless people around you. A journey that's going to set you free. By getting up early in the morning, whatever that is for you, and saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you'll write it down. And at the end of the day, you'll check in with the Father again and say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, even as Jesus prayed in John 17. Not the work that they gave me to do, that others expected me to do, that can't be done. But I did do the work that you gave me to do. And in your soul, listen, precious people, in your heart, listen carefully. Because you'll hear the Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. Do it daily. God will change your priorities, calm your nerves, bless your lives, your wives, your grandkids, your boyfriends, your colleagues, your classmates. God will bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you as you walk in the path that Jesus walked. Even after a busy day of ministry, he got up early, and then he knew what he was to do. May the same thing be true for me, and the same thing true for you. In Jesus' holy name, let's pray, shall we? Father, I pray especially for those that feel fatigued, those that feel like they're running around and trying to accomplish stuff and meet needs and live up to standards of others, but Lord, find themselves just fried and tired and ready to throw in the towel and give up. I pray, Father, that this would be a morning in which especially they would be set free. To live in a whole different way than perhaps they thought was the Christian way to live, by being busy, busy, busy. Father, may they hear your heart. Jesus, I would pray that the saints at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, would be in tune with you, directed by you, that their lives would be fruitful and their families would be blessed, and the young people, Father, would be free from being jerked around, being pulled here, feeling pressured there, that this would be a group of believers that busy Southern Californians would say, there's something different about those guys. There's peace in that place. There's fruitfulness in their lives. Bless this church, Father. Bless these folks, Lord. Bless these young people, I pray. May they live lives that are directed by you. May they be in the center of your will, day by day by day. May this church be a church of new covenant Christians. Not the letter of the law, not rules and regulations, not other people's demands and other people's expectations. But may this be a church where you are guiding each as they walk in the cool of the day. Free them up. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Bless this church. Bless these guys. Bless the things they do. Bless their leaders. Bless every congregant. Bless them as only you can do. Bless this group here. Jesus, touch them. Father, open their ears to hear what you would say on any given day. It's in Jesus' name I pray, for Jesus' glory, for Jesus' purposes, in these lives, in our lives. Amen, 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 and amen.